Look at verse number 27. Sorry about that. You really need to pay attention, though, okay? Verse 27. Now, you're the body of Christ and members in particular, and God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversity of tongues. Are all apostles, or all prophets, or all teachers, or all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is a very unique chapter in that it's very specific in doling out the distinctions within a church and talking about the church as a whole body and how every single person that's saved and part of the local church is actually a member of that body. And the Bible's also emphasizing here that not every body part, not every member does the same function. It brings up very specific parts like the eye or the hand, or, you know, we have different functions for every single one of our body parts, yet we need every single one of them. You know, it's not like I want to trade my hands for more eyes today or trade my eyes for more hands today. You know, that would be something that wouldn't work very well. And so we need all the different pieces. We need all the different functions. And I think this is a question that a lot of people think about or they have in mind, and they really struggle with exactly what to do with this question. And so what I want to do is I want to preach a very practical sermon on how to answer this question. But this is the question: how do I get involved in church? How do I get involved in church? And I even specifically put notes on this back in case you want to, but I'm going to give you a lot of information this morning pretty quickly. And so if you need to, you might take a few notes here this morning, but also use the board to kind of help us. But when it talks about here, you know, having all these body parts, these members, people having different giftings, you know, there's not really much benefit in having these giftings if you're not using them, if you're not putting them to work. And so it's important to realize how you as a person can get involved in church and what's the best way to get involved. Now, I'm going to give you a couple of guiding principles, and this doesn't only apply to church. I believe this applies to every area of your life, but just how do you get involved in any case? How do you end up helping people? How, if you want to be used by someone or something for any reason, what do you need to do? Well, go over to Proverbs chapter 29. Go to Proverbs 29. I'm going to give you four quick points of how you can actually get involved. The first step, if you want to be used or get involved in any scenario, is to plan. Now, I had you turn to Proverbs chapter number 29, and the Bible's going to give us some good wisdom here. Proverbs chapter 29, look at verse number 18. The Bible says, "Where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he." Now, the Bible uses the word here, vision, and having a vision is really going to be the first step in any way of getting involved. If you want to get involved in anything, if you want to do anything, really you kind of have to visualize that or think about it or make a plan for the future. You want to work for a particular company, you have to actually think about that in many cases. You know, you want to do anything, you want to live somewhere, you want to go somewhere, you want to do something. It starts with that planning stage, and it's no different with church. You want to be used in church, you want to get involved in church, it starts with a planning phase of thinking about, okay, what can I do? What are my functions? What capabilities do I have? You know, where am I at, basically? You know, if I said, hey, I want to be a fireman tomorrow, can I just walk up to the fire department and say, like, put me in, coach? Or do I have to look at what kind of requirements they have to become a fireman? And then I have to kind of evaluate myself and see, you know, where I'm at. You know, do I meet the requirements, or am I lacking in their requirements? You know, can I just walk up to Jerry Jones and say, hey, I'm the best quarterback, put me in, coach? He's like, you just paid Dak Prescott $160 million. I don't think he's about to put me in. Okay, but this is the same mentality that some people have in every area of their life. They walk up and just expect to be plugged in, just to go ahead and be put into some kind of position, and they've had no planning. They're like, when did you come up with that idea? 5 minutes ago. It's like, whoa, okay, well, have you actually considered what it takes to do this job or what it takes to be involved or why you even want to do this? So in any case, if you want to be used or you want to help or you want to get involved in some area of your life, it first takes some planning to think about, okay, what is it that I really want to do? What does it take to get there? Now, after you've formulated a plan, go if you would to Luke chapter number 12, go to Luke, and I'm just going to kind of skip around and show you some verses that give you these points. But if you really want to be used, not only you have to plan, number two, you have to then prepare. And like I said, I'm just going to go through these points really quickly, and then we're going to get into some application. But number one, you got to plan, and then once you realize, okay, I want to do this, but I'm not quite there yet. You know, I'm missing some prerequisites, or I'm missing some education, or I'm missing some physical endurance, or I'm missing some kind of knowledge or experience or wisdom or whatever it is, then you have to start preparing yourself in order to accomplish this task or to be used or to help in a particular way. You know, whenever I was looking for jobs and I was considering making a career change, I did not only look at what it would take to get a job right away, but I also looked at what it would take to get that same job 5 years from now, or where, what the career path looked like, and how many things that I'd have to accomplish, and all the things that I'd have to do in order to get to that position. And so when it comes to your workplace, it comes to your personal life, it comes to your personal finances, it comes to raising your children, it comes to their education, all these things take planning, and they take preparation. They take a lot of effort and diligence. Look at Luke chapter 12, verse 40, the Bible says, "Be therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not. Then Peter said unto him, Lord, speakest thou this parable unto us, or even to all? And the Lord said, Who then is that faithful and wise steward, whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household, to give them their portion of meat in due season? Blessed is that servant, whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Of a truth I say unto you, that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. But and if that servant say in his heart, My Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and maidens, and to eat and drink and to be drunken, the Lord of that servant will come in the day when he looketh not for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in sunder, and will port him his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant which knew his Lord's will," notice this, "and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes." So this guy is someone, he actually knows the Lord's will. So it's arguably, he went through the planning phase. He knows what he needs to do. It's not that he's not aware of his strategy. It's not that he's not aware of what, you know, should be happening. The problem is he didn't prepare himself. He didn't get himself ready. He decided to just slack off and be lazy and just do whatever he wants, rather than preparing for the future. And you know, people that are going to be greatly used often have to sacrifice their will, have to sacrifice what they're doing in order to eventually get to the point where they're going to be greatly used. You want to be greatly used, it often takes someone that greatly sacrifices themselves and prepares themselves and gets ready for that task. You know, jobs in the job market that require a lot of skill, people don't just automatically get those jobs or accidentally stumble in those jobs. No, those people, they spend a lot of time studying, doing the work, thinking about it, asking other people, getting mentored, and doing the work for a long period of time and making all this effort. And then eventually they get into that type of a position. They get into that type of a role. And so it's no different in the church. You want to be greatly used by the church. Well, let me ask this question. How are you preparing yourself? What are you doing to prepare yourself? And you know, another aspect of preparation could be that you need to ask permission even. You know, maybe you make a great plan, and before you invest a whole bunch of time preparing, you may even go to the person that is going to basically hire you, use you, or get you involved, and say, here's my plan, here's what I'm going to do to prepare. What do you think? Does this make sense? Is this going to be adequate? And then they can basically give you some kind of a judgment, because you wouldn't want to do a bunch of preparation that's not even legitimate, that's not even going to work. I remember thinking about making a career change at one point in my life, and I was working in the banking industry, and I had a management degree, and I was thinking about going back to school and either becoming an accountant or going into computer programming. And I was kind of evaluating how much more schooling I'd have to get, how much more education. And when I was looking into the accounting degree, I was going to have to take more undergraduate courses before I could start my master's degree. And that was really unappealing to me. And when I looked, I could go straight into the master's program and get an MBA in finance and economics. And when I looked in the computer science industry, they were going to make me require to get more undergraduate work as well. And so I just decided to just go straight into the master's program and do finance and economics, which I didn't like. But I don't know if that was really not the best decision. I probably should have just gone ahead and bit the bullet and done more undergraduate work if I wanted to do that. However, I talked to somebody that I said, hey, I'm thinking about making a career change. Here's some of my options. He was in the software industry, so I was just saying, what do you think? You know, is the software industry a realistic, you know, venture for me? How much schooling did I need? And he says, well, if you want to go into the software industry, he says, don't waste money going to school. Because he said, they won't teach you anything that we're going to use. He's like, they're all using archaic technologies and whatever. He says, we'll hire you if you really want to do it. It'll take a year, and why don't you study these books? So then I just studied other books and did my own self-education for a year and prepared myself. And it wouldn't have been as beneficial if I had just gone to the university and wasted all this money, effort, and energy preparing myself in a way that I wasn't going to be as prepared by doing the education he wanted me to do. Okay, so of course, permission may be something that's realistic. You know, if you come to me and you say, hey, I want to be serving in the church, I want to do something in the local church, my plan is to memorize the entire New Living Version.